Every now and then, a film comes along that offers a helpful, realistic, and compelling peek into the world of contemporary adolescence. The recent film, Eighth Grade, follows the last week of middle school before 13-year-old Kayla graduates and moves on to high school. It's a good one that covers all kinds of issues, including identity, family, social media, friendships, and sexuality. We recently sat with a group of youth workers to view and discuss the film. Does 8th grade accurately capture what it's like to be a kid in today's world? Are there issues the film raises that we need to be addressing in our youth ministries and in our homes? And how can a youth worker use 8th grade as a ministry tool? We host a roundtable discussion with three local church youth workers on these questions and more on this episode of Youth Culture Matters.
From the Center for Parent Youth Understanding, this is Youth Culture Matters. If you're a parent, youth worker, educator, counselor, grandparent, or anyone else who cares about kids, we're glad you've joined us for this practical, informative, and hope-filled podcast. This is a place where together we talk and think Christianly about the rapidly changing world of today's children, teens, and young adults.
Hey, welcome everybody to another episode of Youth Culture Matters. I'm Walt Mueller here at CPYU, and we have a full studio today. I'll introduce our guests in just a minute. But yesterday, I had the privilege of being with our local youth network, the Lancaster Youth Network here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And that's part of National Network, right?
Yep,
you guys
National
are
network.
Associated with the National Network of Youth Ministries, which we love those folks. They've actually been around longer than we have here at CPYU. And great resource, so we'll include a link to them. But yesterday, with the network, we met and we sat together, a group of probably about 14, 15 people, and we watched the film Eighth Grade. If you're not familiar with the film Eighth Grade, 27-year-old Bo Burnham put this together, and it came out of a bit of his experience of transitioning from middle school to high school years ago, and he was trying very hard to depict for viewers what it's like to transition from eighth grade into high school, middle school into high school in today's world, specifically in today's youth culture. When I watched the film a couple of months ago, I thought it was great. And so I asked some folks, you know, hey, what if we watched it together? I'd like to get your read on it. And our discussion was short yesterday. So I thought, hey, why not continue it and bring some of these folks in? It just so happens that today it's all guys who have joined us. There were some gals with us, and I think the reason they're not here is they're out doing youth ministry, and you guys are just slackers. So you wanted to come in for this and be a part of this. So let me tell you who's here. I'll start with Dan, my friend Dan. Dan's been in here before to the CPYU Universal Headquarters for the network meetings, and Dan Istvanik is running the Lancaster Youth Network. He's also the 5th to 8th grade pastor at Victory Church in Lancaster. Some of you may be familiar with Dan from what he does online. I see him all the time on Download Youth Ministry, other youth ministry Facebook sites. But he runs a website, Middle Years Ministry, middleyearsministry.com. Dan, just tell us a little bit about that. So I don't forget what that's all about, because people need to know about that. Great resource.
The last couple of years, I've just kind of created a website to help preteen youth pastors, preteen youth workers. So it's more than just middle school. 6th to 8th grade is actually 5th to 9th grade resources. We try to post about 5 out of 7 days a week. So we've been doing it for a couple of years and have some great partners with us that help us do some of those things. And just honestly, just trying to help people do better 5th to 9th grade ministry.
Okay, and you told me you're working on something else. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't ask permission, but go ahead.
After the new year, we're trying to expand a little bit of what we do to really create a resource-only site. So it'd be MYM Resources, which will be just resources, and we'll keep the site that we currently have as a place for just free ideas. Guest writers, we have about 25 guest writers that write once a week. One of those writers will write, plus a variety of other fun things. And we try to add some humor as well, but just really trying to offer help to people doing middle school, preteen ministry, early high school ministry.
I'll mention one more thing because I love this about what you do, and we always love to give a pat on the back to youth workers who are doing this, but parent ministry,
Yeah.
You're involved with that as
yeah.
well.
So. MinistryToParents.com. Jeremy Lee, a few years ago, invited me to come and be the lead content writer. So I could create a lot of stuff for them. A lot of toolbox resources, online parenting classes, just a wide variety of stuff. Plus, we've created a new blog that's just free resources. So it's not just traditional blogging. So it's all downloadable, all PDFs that parents and youth pastors and churches can use just to help parents and ministry to parents better.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the churches.
Oh, this is awesome. So that's I love the way, Dan, you guys are using, you know, all the digital resources and technology we have because you guys are all, well, you're 20 years younger than me, I think. How old are you?
I'm about to turn 44.
Yeah.
So 25
well, yeah,
years.
You're not 20 years younger than
no,
me.
No, not quite.
You're 18 years younger.
18.
You're just, yeah, you're closer than I thought. But, you know, like for me, and you guys won't get this because you never experienced this, you know, the greatest technology we had was an overhead projector. And what are you laughing for? We had an overhead projector and clip art books.
Yes.
Youth Specialties did these great clip art books where you would, like, cut little pictures out and paste them together to make flyers. And your greatest, you know, friend in youth ministry was a copy machine. So
dry erase markers myself. And transparencies.
Yeah. Well, dry erase markers weren't around when I got started. Oh. Quite an advancement for us. So Chris always jokes because we still have the overhead projector here. I will not allow him to throw it out. So it may make an appearance at our 30th anniversary, gathering this year. So
shadow puppets.
Yeah, shadow puppets. We'll do the shadow puppets. So. All right, so two other guys are here with us. Let me introduce them real quickly. Tony Villafane is a director of students and leadership development at Gateway Church in Parksburg, Pennsylvania, which is about halfway between us and Philly. Mm-hmm. How long have you been there?
I've been there for a whopping 3 months.
3 months.
So I'm pretty new.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us about, like, what was the best advice you got from somebody going into a new church, being new at a church, you know, like, so did anybody say to you, hey, Tony, for your first year, do this? Or I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, yeah, totally. No, through my Bible college education, went to Lancaster Bible College right here in Lancaster, PA, and some phenomenal professors and mentors I had that coached me and trained me up towards being in ministry. And I would say one of the biggest pieces of advice I received walking into a church position would simply to be lead out of the influence of who you are, not your title.
Okay.
That was probably one of the biggest things that was shared with me that God really convicted me on.
Yeah.
Of what does it mean to lead out of your influence rather than your title, and rather than leading just out of do this because this is my title, this is my position at the church. No, that I want to lead out the character of who I am or what I hopefully am.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So now that you're experienced, 3 months.
Yeah.
Now that you're experienced,
I'm a veteran.
So if you would go back to Lancaster Bible College and sit like in Aaron or Ron's classes,
yeah.
You know, and sit with youth workers who are getting ready to graduate and start, you know, next fall or whenever, what piece of advice would you give to them? Is there anything beyond what you just said?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a ton.
Yeah.
To an undergrad student, you.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone who's coming out fresh, you know.
It doesn't matter how much training you receive in Bible college, in seminary, in conferences. There's some things you just cannot be prepared for. It's you have to be flexible.
Okay.
You have to be flexible. You have to be willing to kind of think on the think off the cuff and just be ready to hop into things that you weren't expecting there's not one day that's the same in ministry.
And so
that's what I would say. Just be ready to be flexible.
That's what makes it great. Every day is different. You come in and you just don't know. Like my dad used to say to me, you've got the greatest job in the world because all you do is play. You know, when I was a youth pastor full time, and I had to correct him on that. That's only 3/4 of what I do is play. So about 1/4 of it's work, but yeah. So then our last guest today, and you hosted us yesterday, Jacob
right.
Marino is a youth pastor at Millersville Community Church, and it's actually a multi-site Methodist church, which you don't hear about that much, but especially here in Lancaster. But what a great facility we were at yesterday. Mm. And you've been there how long?
About 7 years now.
Okay. Do you have any good advice after 7 years? You might want to turn to Tony and set him straight. I don't know.
I would say make sure you find a mentor. somebody who's walked the path of ministry much longer than you and be willing to learn from them. I think when you get to a place where you think you've figured everything out, it's the most dangerous place to be.
Oh, that's good. That's wisdom.
That's,
yeah, I like that.
That'll preach.
That's a very dangerous place to be, because then you stop learning, you stop growing, and how can you expect to the students you're discipling to learn and grow if you're not willing to do the same?
Yeah.
So I have a great mentor. His name's Ed Weber. He's the director of our one hub campus right on Millersville University. I meet with him once a week, and I say, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing. And he always comes back to me and says, that's good, but have you thought about doing it this way or this? And I always come away from that, not with my pride hurt, but saying, this is a really good idea. So, yeah, I'd say find a mentor and do it sooner than later.
Good, good. Oh, this is good. We don't even have to talk about the movie. We could talk about all this other stuff, but I want to get to the movie. And for those who are listening to the podcast, we're pre-recording it right now. Just to let you know, we are, as we record this, on Facebook Live, and there's folks who have joined us, and they can look at us. And I just want to tell you guys this. Marv Penner just logged on, our good friend Marv, and Marv said, good morning, friends. You all look marvelous. So, yeah. He likes using that word marvelous, by the way. Marv does, so good. Well, listen, let's talk about the movie. And I had this list of questions yesterday that I had hoped to get to after we watched Eighth Grade. And we didn't get to them all, but we'll start with one that I have on there. Maybe we'll hit some of these, and we'll see where the conversation goes. But the film Eighth Grade, you know, you guys watched it. You work with kids, and maybe reflect on what some of the other folks who were there said as well. You can represent them. But does it offer an accurate picture of adolescent life and the transitions that kids are going through from eighth grade to high school, middle school to high school? What do you think?
I think it gives a good picture. I think that we need to, as we're looking at it, understand that that's how eighth grade looks to Kayla in that film, and that there are all these different experiences that also aren't represented. But the main issues in it, the self-consciousness, the self-image problems, those are pervasive throughout, middle school, high school, even as you get older.
Adult years.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I definitely think it gives an accurate picture. I also believe that they could make tons of different series of that and just different volumes, just with different eighth grade experiences, you know. So I thought it was good from the standpoint of representing the story of kids who don't necessarily always get represented well.
You guys, thoughts on that? You know, as you watched it, I mean, were you going, yeah, this is it?
Well, my perspective was a little different because I have ninth grade daughter. The movie came out right when she was going from eighth grade into ninth grade. So yeah. I had the weird experience of having a fifth grade son and a ninth grade daughter and also being their youth pastor So watching them go through the transitions and their friends.
You could have stopped right there and said, I have the weird experience of having a ninth grade daughter. And what'd you say, fifth grade son?
Fifth grade son.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to even add the youth pastor part. That makes it weirder,
yeah,
I know.
It's weird but then add on, being her youth pastor and also watching her go through the eighth grade into ninth grade transition. And just even now, I mean, this halfway through her ninth grade year. So I think it was really, really accurate in a lot of ways. And I think they did a really good job of not trying to stereotype the eighth grade. Because I've watched a lot of movies and people tell me hey, watch this movie. You're a youth pastor. I'll tell you what you think. And what they'll do is they'll try to find actor or actresses to act like they're a real person, where this girl that they chose really was actually an eighth grader going into ninth grade. She wasn't perfect. If you watch the film, she's not, some glamour model. I mean, her teeth were crooked. She had acne, or they did a really good job of giving her acne. But throughout the movie, even just they portrayed her in a real way. So even how she spoke and things like that, it wasn't polished. It was a very, very accurate picture of who she was, the awkwardness. So I appreciate that. And then just the surrounding pieces that went into it socially.
Yeah, and let me just add, if you haven't watched the film, one of the things that I liked about it immediately was, I go into watching movies about teenagers, and it's like you said, Dan, they have actors and actresses that they plug into these spots. and you're going, it's not a real kid, or it's, you know, things are magnified and overblown. In this, it just seems so real. You know, just the way she talked, the way she looked, her body shape, you know, not, I mean, even there, you know, it wasn't like the high standard that kids try to live up to. She's just a normal kid. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, no, and I really appreciate that as well. Like, just the rawness of it, if you will, because, like you're saying, it's not, it wasn't, didn't need to be polished. Like, middle school lives are not polished in any way, shape, or form. And so it was just, I appreciated the fact that they took, though not a perfect movie, though it doesn't fit in every single culture or in every single middle school environment, they took some very specific ideas and concepts that middle schoolers wrestle with and put it into this film and in a very raw and awkward way. I remember even just processing, saying like to myself, like, wow, I felt very awkward throughout that whole movie, not because I was personally uncomfortable. I was just like, wow, like middle schoolers are awkward.
Yeah.
Like they're the season they go through that we've all gone through was an awkward season. And I thought that they, to say the film was awkward, I actually say that very positively speaking, because it portrayed a middle schooler's life and what they wrestle with.
Yeah.
And how we can see just a small lens into what they deal with.
Yeah, so you guys have done retreats as youth workers with middle schoolers, and you've probably wound up in a cabin with middle school boys, which at that moment in time is like the weirdest place on the face of the earth when you're in there, you know, you're smelling body spray and all kinds of other things that they're trying to cover up with a body spray, and just the awkwardness, that's a good word. I thought in the beginning it was really good the way that they just went from scene to scene with these kids doing different weird things in the school setting where you're going, like, I was behind all you guys as you were watching, and the laughter and kind of the nods and things were, oh, yeah, yeah, I got guys who do that, or I have girls who do that. It's just an awkward thing. Let me ask you about this, because there's some people who are going to get sidetracked in this conversation because you used the word raw. And you're going to go, okay, raw, and I haven't watched the film, but I see there's an R rating on it. We had a little conversation about that afterwards, you know, because there's a lot of people who just, it's an R-rated movie, I'm not going to watch it, which I think is, you're going to miss a lot of great movies, and if you just trust the ratings, you know that a G movie is, I could put that on in front of a three-year-old and not worry. There are worldview elements in those that are actually more dangerous than what we saw. Yeah. So if you want to just comment on that, the R rating, and a little bit about the conversation we had afterwards about that, if you want to do that, anybody. A little nervous. Okay, Dan.
Well, I'll jump in. Yeah, when it came out, we didn't see it. I didn't see it with my daughter because I saw the R rating, read a couple reviews, Christian and non-Christian reviews of it, and it seemed like it deserved an R rating after watching it. Yeah, there's definitely some mature elements to it, but I would encourage everybody to see it. As a youth pastor, as a parent, you have an 8th grade, 9th grade daughter, son, and you want to process it with them. I mean, there's definitely some things in there that you might have to process. So, I mean, I was hesitant to watch it with my daughter present. And now we've had the conversation yesterday after me watching the movie in the car, and I've talked to my wife about it, and I'm saying, hey, let's consider watching this movie together. But it is, it's definitely not like youth group night movie night.
Yeah.
It'd be great for pastors to watch, youth pastors to watch, sit down as a parenting class or parenting small group, sit down and have that, maybe break it into a few weeks and watch it, and then some discussion questions, because it is, I mean, I feel it's really spot on, and it just brings up a ton of great opportunities to discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just say, going off and supporting what you said, I think we can get in this notion of let's say right now you're listening and you're at a church with it, like, oh, it has an R rating, so we can't listen to it. I think we got to be realistic with ourselves to say how many people we know on church staff or in leadership things that will, you know, are going home and what they're watching on Netflix and Game of Thrones or anything else. Mm-hmm. So they go home and watch these things and they say, oh, no, because we're in this special building here, we can't. And I'm saying that, okay, if that's the case, if we really want to be realistic and actually engage culture, we need to understand what's going on. So are we really going to let an R rating get in the way of, you know, us finding a better understanding of that? So if you're at a church struggling with that, I guess that encouragement would be to whoever is the lead guy there to decide that, is say, hey, at least watch this movie and consider what the teaching principles could be to your youth pastor or you're teaching people, or especially I'd say to parents, and go from there.
Yeah. Well, let me because people are listening. Okay, what happened in the film? Let me go back into my memory. I've watched it twice. I will watch it again, I'm sure, several times. You guys add to this if I miss anything. So you got a kid who gives the finger. I think that may happen in middle schools from time to time. You've got a situation where a kid talks to a girl, a guy talks to a girl about, you know, do you give oral sex? Mm-hmm. I think that happens quite a bit in middle school, and kids face that. And it's good to talk about that, you know, and you know, how do we push back on that? You know, is oral sex sex? There's so many conversations we can have about biblical sexuality and that sort of thing. There's a scene where an older guy tries to manipulate the lead character into, you know, a sexual encounter. It's not violent, but I think it depicts really well the way that older kids will try to manipulate younger kids. And I thought the way she handled it was brilliant. I thought it was really good and admirable, but it shows it very clearly what it's like for kids. And there's some profanity. Now, beyond that, there's no nudity. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't remember any gratuitous violence. There was nothing gratuitous in it at all, if we would say it that way. Did I miss anything?
There was a scene when they're all in the room watching the video on sex education.
Oh, yeah.
There was a student
relieving himself.
But even there, that's something that happens among middle schoolers.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So a kid was, you know, just to be blunt, was masturbating in the classroom. He was covered. You just knew what was going on. But, you know, these are things when I go to speak at schools and even Christian schools, I hear administrators talking about these are the kinds of things that are happening with our kids. So, you know, thanks for bringing that up, because that's one that, you know, I did forget. But that was probably the most awkward, you know, part in the movie. But this is, you know, what life is like for kids. Yeah. Anything else I missed? No?
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
My powers of observation are still working. How are we doing on time here? We're good? Take a break? Yep. We need to take a break? Okay. So Chris is telling us we need to take a break, so we'll take a break. And we're talking about the movie Eighth Grade with a group of youth pastors from the Lancaster area here where we are, Tony Villafane, Dan Hispanic, and Jacob Marino. So we'll be right back after this. Tens of thousands of kids have been trained by their parents and youth workers to think Christianly about music and media with our How to Use Your Head to Guard Your Heart 3D Guide to Making Wise Media Choices. This easy-to-use teaching tool needs to be in your youth ministry toolbox if you desire to teach your students to integrate their faith into all of life. Jesus calls us to follow Him, and that includes following Him into the 6 to 9 hours a day of screen time that shape and mold the beliefs and behaviors of our kids. To learn more about our 3D Media Evaluation Guide and to order a copy for every member of your youth group, go to our website at cpyu.org. Teach your kids to engage with media to the glory of God. So we're having a conversation here about the film Eighth Grade. Watched it yesterday with a group of youth workers here in Lancaster County with the Lancaster Youth Network, and I really do think it's something that youth networks should do. You should do this with other youth workers that you're working with in your community, even your youth staff, because it does give, as we've talked in the first segment, some great insight into what's going on with teenagers. But where we always want to get with that is not just watch and go, wow, okay, that was enlightening, but we want to get to the point where we are working to answer the question, okay, in ministry, what do we do now? And we talk here at CPYU about knowing the cultural narrative. This is why we watch a film like Eighth Grade, so that we can then bring the light of God's Word to bear on that. How do we bring the biblical narrative in to bring correction where correction is needed, or where we can celebrate and affirm perhaps where the cultural narrative is getting it right? Because the cultural narrative will do that from time to time. And certainly a film like Eighth Grade is a good one to put through this grid. And I shared with the youth workers yesterday, I'll just mention this quickly, that one of the ways to do this, and Duffy Robbins and I do this all the time with our students up at Gordon-Conwell in our youth ministry classes, we will walk them through Richard Osmer's little scheme for practical theology. Osmer actually wrote a book called Practical Theology, and he says that the task of the practical theologian, and certainly parents and youth workers, we are all practical theologians, right? Task one is what he calls a descriptive empirical task. We look at what's happening in the culture. We ask the question, what is going on? Then we move from that to task two, which is the interpretive task. That's where we ask, why is it going on? We want to peel back the layers of the onion, you know, the surface of what the behaviors or the values are, and see, you know, what lies beneath. And then we move to the normative task, where we ask the question, what ought to be going on? And this is where we bring the scriptures in, because the scriptures correct, you know, offer what it means to be someone who flourishes in a world that's broken. And then the fourth task, the pragmatic task, which is where we're going to work to move now with these guys, is a task that asks, how might we respond? So that's it. That's a great scheme to use. I think it's, you know, the more you do that, the more it becomes second nature, and it certainly keeps us on task in youth ministry. But as we think about that, guys, one of the questions I had written down yesterday was, what are the main issues, you know, with Kayla and her peers? You know, Kayla comes to your youth group. She's there, not as Kayla, but as, you know, all the different kids that you have. What are some of the main issues that the film raises that you need to address in your youth ministry, youth workers need to address? What are some of those? Let's talk about those, because there were a lot.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think with it there, yeah, there are a lot of things that Kayla was going through. I think my approach to all these things, I try to do my best to summarize it as clear and concise with students as I can. You know, there are four components to every worldview. Everyone has these components, regardless of what religion or what worldview you have. Origin, what you believe about where you came from. Morality, what you believe about good and evil. Meaning and purpose, why you're here. And then eternal destiny, where you go after you die. For all those four pieces, what students I've seen time and time again care about the most, if I said, if you could have one clear answer to any one of those questions, what would it be? They'd say, what is my meaning and purpose? Why am I here? For Kayla and so many others, especially in this transition period, it's answering this question of, what is your meaning and purpose, Kayla? What is your meaning and purpose? Yeah, you want to be more outgoing, but why? You want more people to like your videos. You know, why? What's behind that? And I think asking those questions are very important, because at the piece to that, we as followers of Christ know, okay, we know what our meaning and purpose is, and everything else can flow out for that. For me, the main issue I would address is an issue of identity at the core. Meaning and purpose. Kayla, why do you think it is you're here? And it's okay if she says, I don't know, because then, hey, that opens the door for more conversation. Because I think for a lot of kids, it's I don't know. And because it's I don't know, you've got an entire culture in which you can pick and choose these little things to do that can maybe fill that void. And it's just not working.
Yeah.
So I think the identity piece, that meaning and purpose piece, would be really what I would use to address.
Yeah. So in the film, do you guys think that he, Bo Burnham, the way he wrote the film, do you think that he captured pretty clearly where kids go to find identity now? And if so, you know, what did you take out of that in terms of where kids are looking for identity? How did Kayla represent that?
I think she represented really well in watching my 5th, 8th grade students, because that is they're trying to find their identity, what they believe about the world, what they believe about eternity, but what they believe about themselves. But they don't often seek it through God.
Right.
You know, there's the one scene where she does pray, which is such a cool scene, because in the middle of all of this, I mean, she's just desperate. She turns to God and asks God, like, help me through this next day. But realizing that, I mean, 8th grade, the 8th grade movie, but 8th grade year is so pivotal. Something I talk about quite a bit and why I do what I do in 5th to 8th grade, 5th to 9th grade ministry is, you know, a lot of the different studies are coming out realizing that the faith transition is not happening 18 into 19 going off to college. We're now seeing faith transition happening before high school. So that 4 to 14 window is a big thing. That by 14 years old, and depending on who you read, 75 to 85% of students will accept lifelong belief and faith, no matter what that faith and belief is. And that's about their worldview. That's about their own personal view. And so eighth grade is a huge ministry moment for us, no matter what you do, how you do it, because eighth grade into early ninth grade, we're seeing a huge drop off, and it's growing because students aren't getting ready to go to college. They're getting ready to go to high school. And that's what you see with Kayla. She's trying to figure out who she is, what she believes about her world, what she believes about others. And it's all happening in that end of her eighth grade going to ninth grade year, which is pretty much the whole movie is eighth grade going to ninth grade. That month or two, maybe, that's happening.
Could I follow up on that and just say,
sure.
And I think that's a great point, Dan. Do you think that in the film he accurately portrayed how social media has fueled that age compression from, you know, like yep. you said, 18 down to 14? Because that's something we need to reckon with. Parents need to understand. Youth workers need to understand. Even, you know, youth workers my age who are 40 years out of high school, youth workers who are 5 years out of high school, irregardless of how long we've been out, or middle school, we need to realize that's dropped down, that age yep. compression. So with social media, and that played into it a lot in the film.
Just in the last couple of years,
yeah.
it has really changed social pressures, social norms, sexual norms, all of it's dropping really, really low. So what I do in 5th to 8th grade ministry at my church at Victory is we talk about deeper, harder things in age-appropriate ways, but we introduce those things already. What I used to talk to juniors and seniors in high school about as far as their worldview, their sexuality, their life, I'm talking about the 5th to 8th graders now because they're making those choices now. And because social media and the internet is so prevalent, it's there. And they can Google whatever. And unfortunately, Google doesn't have the right answer all the time,
yeah.
the God answer all the time, but that's what they believe.
Yeah.
And, even recently, YouTube is, reading a study recently, it said that the average student turns to YouTube more than their parents to find out answers to questions. So what
yeah.
their preferred way to learn is not school, it's not parents, it's YouTube.
Yep.
About everything, anything. And that's a scary plus spot to be in.
Yeah, that's a good thought because, me as an older guy, when I have something to fix around the house, I go to YouTube. And there's always a tutorial or two there or 20 or 30. And the same thing, it's not just mechanical issues or your dishwasher. It is life. And, with the breakdown of the family, that figures into it. One other thing I'd say, and just as follow-up to what you said, is that we talk here about with social media, there's what's called the disinhibition effect. Researchers have named it that, where when we get when our interaction with someone else is not face to face as we have right now, but it's mediated with a screen between us, and we can do it through social media. And Kayla making her YouTube videos, or her Instagram posts, or Snapchat, or whatever it was, I am less inhibited in how I present myself, and the dichotomy between her online self and who she really was just unbelievable. But I think that's the way. And when I say unbelievable, I don't mean that I couldn't believe that was actually what was happening. The dichotomy is so wide that you're just looking at that. And we need, as viewers, to realize this is the way it is for our kids. So she had her aspired to self that she was presenting on social media, and that a lot of that is being determined by what others expect of you, to be accepted. But she had her real self that was just totally, in vulnerable ways, so shy, so quiet, so lacking confidence. I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant depiction. So I forgot what my original question was, but go ahead and answer it.
Well, no, I think that going off of that and off the identity and what's our purpose, what's their purpose, is that like they're going online and they're going to social media and using all these different technologies to form their identity and to form a false self. And we saw that Kayla again was super confident from behind the video camera when she was recording her videos, but then at school she was incredibly shy. I think it's out of the fact that we are not addressing as much of an identity of who they are, what is their unique wiring and purpose, because I firmly believe that God is uniquely wired every single student, every single person on the face of the planet for a unique purpose at a unique time and a unique place at school and family that they've been put into. And if we're not educating them on how to be comfortable within their own skin, of course they're going to go and try to be something they're not. Of course they're going to try to go and compare themselves to all those other people that they follow on Instagram and social media, et cetera, because we're not teaching them as much. Are we doing a horrible job across the board? Not necessarily, but we need to continue to address who they are, what is their purpose, as we mentioned just a moment ago, allow them to understand God has wired you uniquely, and you are to be you. You're not to compare yourself to other people. You are not to try to show off what you're not. You're supposed to show off who you are and that you're in the image of God. And we need to continue to drill that in a way that is not just Bible thumpy, not just, here's scripture. No, like, let's make it relevant to them and the personality that God's given them, the skills that God's given them. And how can we say, no, this is you. Be confident in who you are.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question of you guys? And I have an answer in my head about what I'd be doing in this and, you know, in my interactions with kids. But have you, when you see your students on social media and you're tracking, you know, because you guys are on social media, when you're tracking with your students on social media where they allow you to track with them, because I'm sure they've got other places that you have no idea where they're at. But when you see that, are you able to pick up on when they're, you know, fishing around for the likes and the OMGs, you look so hot? And how do you interact with them on that? Because I tell youth workers all the time, the worst thing you can do for a student is like something that you shouldn't be liking, because it's going to encourage kids to go down a road to continue to seek those likes for that particular aspect of life. And it usually has to do with appearance or some sort of, you know, achievement. You know, academic, athletic, or whatever it might be, you know. So, yeah, what have you guys had to navigate that, practically speaking? What have you done?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as I also coach soccer. That's the other piece of what I do, and what I've always come to discover, and what the OSC is, kids will always. I mean, and this is what I love about what Dan does, is he understands, is kids will normally do as they've seen set an example of. I mean, they will do it. So, I mean, it's, here's my thing, is I'm looking at a lot of parents and adults on Facebook, and here's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm saying, like, okay, how many guys after hunting season post the big deer or that they've shot, or the big fish that they've caught, or even like of their own kids saying, look what my kid's done. And these are, I want to be very clear on this. I'm not saying those things in and of themselves are bad things. But I'm saying that within that environment, if we're trying to tell kids that you're wrong for posting this new outfit or this thing, well, I'm asking, what is the example being set? And for me, I'm not so much addressing what's, unless it's something very serious, I'm not so much addressing, hey, let's talk about, you know, what you posted on Instagram. I'm more so talking about, hey, what is it you actually believe about Jesus, and what does that mean for your life? What I'm saying is, I think there's a bigger issue at work here, especially with more and more adults moving into figuring out Instagram. And as they do that, kids will probably move out of that, as they did with Facebook. But I'm saying that this is a huge cultural thing.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, thinking about anything we ever post, what's the reason behind us posting it? And if the reason behind us posting is because we want people to see it so they know how the good thing we did or anything, I'm saying it's the exact same thing. But the consequences when they're at that age are far different, because that's the time where they can really start to form their identity in Jesus and say, I don't need 300 Instagram likes to get me through my week or to feel good about it. If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, and that's the thing about the film one of the things about the film that really hit me hard was what a wonderful, effective portrayal of insecurity, human insecurity, fear of man, which ultimately is idolatry when we understand that spiritually. And you're right. It's not just an adolescent problem. And I think as this generation comes of age, I think we're going to see it snowball a little more as they've been nurtured through this into this way of thinking, you know, because of social media. And I think we do need to address it with parents. And maybe we're not the ones as youth workers to address it to parents, but there are people who can. And that's why when we come back after a break, we're going to talk about, you know, who needs to watch this. We're going to make some recommendations. We're going to hear from these guys about who needs to watch it, how to watch it, and how to use it in your ministry. So let's take a break. We'll come back and continue our discussion about the film Eighth Grade. Are you interested in bringing CPYU to your church, school, or community? A big part of our ministry is the on-site seminars we conduct in dozens of settings every year. CPYU seminars are designed to encourage and educate your audience on a variety of youth culture issues. Every seminar is designed to be informative, practical, and hope-filled. If you want to learn more about our CPYU seminars, available speakers, and the many seminar topics and options in our growing seminar lineup, go to our CPYU homepage at cpyu.org. Click on the seminar option on the menu bar at the top of the page, and you can learn more about how to schedule a CPYU speaker and seminar for your parents, youth workers, and educators. Well, welcome back, everybody. We're having a conversation about a film that's been out for a few months called Eighth Grade, and we're talking about how well, in so many ways, it depicts this transition, especially for female students, from eighth grade into ninth grade, you know, moving from middle school into high school, all the insecurities that are associated with that, how social media plays into that. We didn't even get to talking about how family plays into that, you know, the back and forth dynamics relationally. There's just so much in the film. And we had a discussion yesterday when we met with the Lancaster Youth Network and watched this together, a short discussion on how to use it in our ministries. And that's the question I want to throw to you guys. You know, as you walked out of there yesterday watching the film, have you had, you've had 24 hours, have you had a chance to think about, you know, maybe some ways to use this? Because we've got a lot of youth workers who listen. We certainly want them to watch it, but we want to, like we just said in the last segment, action off of that. We want to spring off of it. We want to do something with this. So any thoughts on that? This is where the crickets, you know, start. Actually, they're all thinking about it. Who jumps in first? So, Tony.
So, absolutely worth promoting it to your pastors, to the youth staff, to parents as well. I mean, I would definitely, we had a little discussion about the R rating piece earlier. I would say that the potential discussion far outweighs that letter R, if you will, because all things considered, it's not a horribly R rated movie. And does it kind of provoke some discomforts when you watch it? For sure. When you look at it with your middle school student, if you were a parent, I would encourage, hey, grab it, watch it in the comfort of your home. Prepare some thoughts prior to watching the movie, maybe screen it yourself, look through that. And I could see that being a very beneficial tool for parents to be able to use as a guide of, hey, this, how accurate is this to your life, and what can I do as a parent to help you, or to guide you, to process with you, or how can we get another mentor in your life? Again, knowing that, yes, parents are to be the main discipler role, but sometimes it can just be uncomfortable for a middle school student to talk with their parent about something. And so how can we get a mentor in your life, or a youth leader, or somebody who can, a coach of some kind that can talk through some of these things and keep working with you and spend time with you make you more into the image of Jesus, and not these things that we saw run rampant of insecurity and identity and sexuality in the film. And so absolutely something from like a parent to their middle school student. But I know for me, as a youth worker, I would love to show this to my youth staff. Just get it in their hands. Let's discuss it. Let's talk about it. Let's make you more equipped so you're not ignorant to what are middle school students dealing with.
Yeah.
This is, again, not in every single middle school, not in every single middle school student, but these are real issues that students are dealing with every day, and how can I equip my youth staff specifically? I could see this film being a very, very beneficial way of
doing that. Okay, so you talked about two groups there. One would be your youth staff. So you sit with them, use it as a training thing, discussion starter, spring off of it to strategize maybe more extensively than we have here on how to follow up and address these issues, you know, looking for resources that will speak truth into kids' lives. And then secondly, parents. So let's just stop right there for a minute. And I want to ask about that, because my mind is spinning about some specific ways to use use this with parents. Have you thought about, you know, do we just recommend to parents, hey, watch it? Or what about bringing them together and watching it with them? You know, have you thought about that? Because that's the road I'm going down in my head right now. I guess a lot of, because you'll have some parents will go, all right, I'll watch it. And they'll get up and get involved in other things, or they just won't watch it. But then I think when you have them as a captive audience.
Yeah, I think that if you just tell parents to go watch it, they'll start watching it. They'll get uncomfortable and they'll turn it off. I mean, realistically, because it's, you know, as well as it's not horribly rated R, it is pretty straightforward. It is not a happy movie necessarily. I mean, I think the ending is amazing.
Funny moments in it.
Funny
though.
Moments.
I mean, we laughed quite a bit.
Yeah, funny moments. Chuckles. But I think the funniest came from how like realistic and awkward the movie really was, and portraying real students, how real students are. I would love to be able to chop it up into small clips and create a curriculum for my parents, maybe a few week parenting class, or even just chop it up for a few sessions with my leaders. Maybe taking out some of the rated R pieces. And just saying, hey, you know, we're in a church setting. We're going to watch this movie. Watch it in entirety. There's some pieces we've cut out of this, but chopping up a few key pieces. I think the movie itself portrays a really touching, realistic perspective of a dad and a daughter. The mom wasn't involved, but some realistic scenes. I mean, the dinner scene where the girl has her headphones on, her phone up to her face, and she's just like, uh-huh, whatever. And he's trying to talk to her, trying to engage her. That clip alone would be just so powerful to show to parents and then say, hey, what does this look like? I know Jonathan McKee has some great resources on how to talk to your teen about, you know, your smartphone obsessed teen. And he does some teaching on that. And I mean, that book would be able to offer that to parents and say, hey, look, this is the realistic. This is what we all deal with. You know, your child has their headphones on, their face is aglow, and they're not eating their food. They're not talking. There were so many, I saw so many different little small clips, just 5-10 minute clips that could be used as a discussion. And then I would love to be able to create a curriculum or something. I mean, something around this to, with my parents, the parents engage in and say, hey, look, let's watch this. Let's talk. I think the key is coming together is realizing we're not alone. Just like the girls, like, I'm all alone in this. I mean, the actress, when she was actually interviewed, she said why I wanted to do this so that I can help other people my age realize they're not alone. And then the same thing, I think when parents watch this it's in a group, they're like, you can literally say, hey, how many of you have experienced this? I mean, and I'll guarantee you, you know, majority of the hands are going to go up in the room for majority of those clips because every single parent. But as I counsel parents, my wife and I sit, you know, eye to eye with parents. Oh, you hear that. Oh, I'm not alone. I'm like, no, like majority of the parents in our ministry are going through this, or they've gone through it, or we've gone through it. And that moment of just not feeling alone, as much as Kayla was feeling alone in the movie, I think the dad was feeling alone in the movie. And, you know, you didn't see a whole lot of interaction with other parents in the movie. So, but you can say, oh, yeah, I relate to that.
And I think that's where watching it together as a group is helpful because, you know, everyone's sitting there looking around. And so afterwards, a discussion starts. You deal with that. So you do. There's this relief. I want to say one thing about the dad and that scene you brought up, Dan, about at the table. He just kept trying. And we tell parents all the time that, you know, when your kids seem to be pushing you away, don't read it that way, because there is a moment in the film where she embraces him and you're being heard.
I think parents would miss that. They don't watch the whole movie. They don't realize the ending. I mean, there's this eighth grade girl. She sits on her dad's lap as she burns.
Oh, you just ruined it for everyone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Go ahead. No, that's good. I'm joking with you.
Spoiler alert. But there's that moment at the end where you see dad's persistence, you know, succeed.
Yeah.
And there's the, you know, it's just, I like that moment as well. Once again, I think just being a dad of an eighth grade, ninth grade daughter, but also being a youth pastor, double whammy on my heart. So.
Yeah. Before we move on to other groups you might show it to, a question about parents. Tell me if you think this would be helpful. Actually, not just parents of our high schoolers and our middle schoolers, but what if we were to pull together, with the help of our children's ministry folks, parents of newborns up through elementary school, so they're starting to think now about the issues that their kids will face as they get older. Not to serve them, to terrify them, but to serve them, to prepare them and actually have a, you know, exert a preventive influence, you know, talking about these issues now. Because the identity conversation, you know, which we talked about earlier, that's got to be had from, you know, birth. Yeah. It can't be reactive like, oh, my goodness, you're believing this. You know, well, here's – yeah, I think we need to build that foundation in kids. So that's just a thought I have. So what other groups, you know, who else would you use this with? Have you thought about that or I'm putting you on the spot?
I would say that if I were to use this, it would be more so in terms of the principles that it can teach. I think that if you're a youth worker or a youth pastor and you're watching this video to say and you're watching this movie to say, oh, I want to know, you know, what's going on with eighth graders. If you watch this video and say, I had no idea any of this was happening, you're a little behind the ball. Like, yeah. you're a few steps, because I don't think any of us watch this video and we're like, oh, man, I can't believe they're going through this. We know what they're going through. I'm looking at this and I'm saying that where I would use this for is – I would say that students getting ready to study for ministry in terms of forming, like, hey, a philosophy of student and family ministry. Hmm. Because I think one of the principles that is taught in this movie is when this older girl, this older high school girl, kind of comes alongside Kayla and how much that means. And to me, discipleship starts with relationships. Yep. You know, the very foundational principle of how you make a disciple, it starts with deep and genuine relationships. So I would say for students that are like, okay, coming in like believing that, okay, what a successful, healthy youth ministry is. I think there's this idea that you need this big event every week where a lot of kids show up. And I think that's honestly, unfortunately, still the idea. The reality of it being is what ministry looks like, shouldn't it really be that idea of teaching principles of relationship building. One of the things we do at our youth ministry, The Process, is on Wednesday nights where we have we have middle students come. You know, we have a select group. We'll ask some juniors and seniors to come as well. And they've embraced the idea of being the big brother and the big sister there. But then you also have, college students there, and then you have parents and adults there. So it's really this, it's really, when you get down to it, not youth ministry, but actually family and discipleship ministry when you get down to it. So I would say that my big thing would be, hey, if you're anywhere and you're trying to learn how to do any type of discipleship ministry, this is something that reinforces. Because how many – we all know this. How many of us in eighth grade, if a high school senior came up to us and started befriending us and inviting us to things and wanting us to be a part of our lives – wouldn't love that. So that's one group I would say I would say would get benefit a lot from it.
That's good. And thanks for bringing up about the power of relationships, especially as it was depicted in the film. That's something we talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it sparked that conversation as well. Anything else?
Yeah, I would just to echo that, I completely agree. Like, if you had a couple of student leaders, upperclassmen, junior, seniors that were like, you could just tell that they could handle clips from this yeah. film, where you take them aside and you say, hey, I want to show you guys whether it's the whole movie or clips of the movie, you know, using your discretion. But to have a discussion around this, saying, how can we really look to pour into some of these guys that are not too far removed from you, but they look up to you right now. They look up to you like you're a rock star, probably. You don't even know it.
Yeah.
How can you be an influencer to them now as you guide help could try to guide them through a time that's a difficult season that we've all gone through? And so, yeah, using upperclassmen through this film, I think, is a really good idea as well.
Yeah. Let me throw out two other groups I think we could show this to. And I don't think you guys mentioned this. Maybe you didn't. I wasn't listening, but that'll happen from time to time when I'm thinking ahead. But one would be church staff, pastors, because sometimes pastors get locked into what they're doing so much that they're not really in tune with what's going on with kids. So, do them a favor and invite them in to be a part of this as well, because I think, and even if they would come while parents are watching and just tune into the discussion, that might shape the way they bring the truths of God's word to life through their preaching and develop some applications on some of these issues kids are facing and families are facing that might not be there otherwise. So that would be one group. And then the other one would be, because I'm here, grandparents. Man, what a different world, you know, and to know how to pray for your grandkids. And I think one of the movements now in the church that's really great is we're seeing the powerful role that grandparents play in the lives of their grandkids. And I'm sure you're seeing that in your ministries, you know, as you talk about, at your church, you know, you bring all the generations together. Grandparents are just powerful, and some of the best youth workers we know are grandparents and even great-grandparents. So to clue them in on this would be good. So, all right, so I'm going to give you a last question here before we wrap up. And I'm looking at the case for the DVD, and so there's this endorsement on the front. It says, you know, 5 stars, a flat-out triumph, an impossible to forget gift from the cinema gods. I didn't even know there were cinema gods. Peter Travers from Rolling Stone wrote that. Okay, so you know, you read books, you see endorsements. Here's one on the back, a new iconic teenage heroine for the ages, Anne Hornaday from the Washington Post. Each of you guys gets to give your endorsement now. So what would you, I'm putting you on the spot, but you know, to youth workers and to parents who are listening, can you endorse the film in a sentence or two in a way that might spark them on to pick it up and watch it or look at it in their group? I can ramble a little longer if you want more time to think about that, but anybody got anything good? Oh, they're quiet. Here we go.
I would say it is a movie that has an incredible amount of potential conversation, to ask tough questions, to not shy away from the things that can be awkward, that can be very difficult. And I think it does a really good job of just putting it right in front of you. You can't avoid it if you watch this film.
Yeah.
And so I think that just discussing some really hard conversations is needed. We need to discuss them. They're being educated through their peers, through social media, through other films, through all these other formats. Why are we shying away from the conversations? And so I think that this film does a really, really good job to serve it up on a platter for you to talk it over with your students, with your parents, with your leaders, et cetera.
You know what I like about that, Tony? Chris is sitting over there and he's going, you know, Walt just asked for a sentence or two, and you gave us a lot more than that, and that's exactly what I do. So thanks for affirming me in front of Chris. He's always giving me grief about, you know, you say a sentence or two, but that's, I like that. You're allowed to do that. What about you other guys? Any?
Well, Jacob? I don't want to anger the cinema gods.
Okay.
But I think that it's a good movie. I mean, it's not, you know, you're not going to see it in the same way you'd go and see Star Wars. You're seeing it to pull things from it. So I would say, hey, regardless of our endorsement or not, I'm saying give this movie a try. Watch it, whether regardless of you're a lead pastor, if you're a college professor teaching students, if you're a youth minister, a youth worker, just give it a try at home. Watch it. I'm sure you can order it somewhere online or rent it somewhere online nowadays. That's so easy to do. And then come up with your own thoughts because, you know, form your opinion after that, because I think that once you see it for yourself, you'll be able to understand the things that we're talking about.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't write for Rolling Stone magazine, and I don't know if I can get – I'll try to sum it up in less than a couple sentences, but I think it's a realistic perspective and a realistic portrayal of eighth grade today. And if you have a student in your life, or you care about students, or you play a role in leading students, this is a movie that you should see.
Good. Yeah, for me, you know, if you look back behind me here, we've got a shelf. There used to be about, what, 5 of those shelves that were filled with things, and then we purged most of the VHS tapes. That was painful, by the way, for me to have to do after all those years. But there's a lot of movies stacked up back there, and we're always looking for films that will be helpful. And I would say if I was to rank them, you know, the top of the pile being most helpful down to some others, you know, most movies are about entertainment. I think this in many ways is more, you know, a revelation. It's a pulling of the curtain back, let's call it that, rather than just being entertaining. And it's enlightening. And so I would put this close to the top of the stack if I'm going to order them that way. And so I would endorse it in those terms. So we had a couple of people ask us, you know, hey, can you post what those questions were that you had? And I have a sheet of those. We'll post that. There'll be a handout. You won't be able to get that through the podcast platforms that you might be listening to. You'll have to go to cpyu.org. Go to the page for Youth Culture Matters, and everything we mention here, whether it's a website, a book, a resource, the discussion guide, which we'll put in PDF form, Chris will put that up there, All those things will be available there. You can link and download there. Any resources, guys, that you would mention as we close out? I know Dan will include your websites and the others that we mentioned, but any resources? Okay, if you don't have anything. I'm just wondering if there's anything off the top of your head. I know I mentioned Kristen Hatton's book. FaceTime is a good one on this. I mentioned to you folks yesterday when we were with the group, Tony Ranke's book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. And by the way, you can get both those books through our online resource center at CPYU. I'll throw that shameless plug in because you can support us rather than Amazon. It all goes to support our ministry. Anything else? No? Yeah? Okay.
One book that I was really challenged by, it's called Identity, Who You Are in Christ by Eric Geiger. Okay. And it's a book that rattles off all these different titles that we have in Scripture that God declares who we are, whether it's being a child of God, a warrior in Christ, a royal priesthood. Some of these titles that might sound a little weird to the average person, but what he does is he unpacks a chapter at a time, saying, hey, this is who Scripture says you are, and here's some practical application behind that. What does that mean to live out that identity? And so I think that book – for me personally, was super good and informative for me. And so Eric Geiger, Identity, Who You Are in Christ.
Good.
I mean, just the endorsement for Controlled Chaos. Controlled Chaos is a new book, or a third edition of a book that was written years ago and rewritten by Kurt Johnson, and Justin Herman kind of adds on his own perspective as well. And just packed with, if you do middle school ministry, if you do ministry to the middle years, this book is great. And it's just been re-released, so it's updated to reflect the current culture, not, you know, the past. I have all three editions sitting on my shelf, reread this newest one. So Controlled Chaos by Kurt Johnson with some extra words by Justin Herman.
Yeah, I know both those guys. They're okay. I'm joking. I know those guys. Yeah, they're good guys. And that will lead me to think, we'll work on this, Chris. Maybe a couple of books on development. We've got some resources on that. And I'm thinking of, when you mention, you know, who we are in Christ and those names, I'm always reminded it is just a wonderful thing to ponder and meditate on and think about, that all those names, that's because God sees Christ when he looks at us. And just to be, you know, a son or a daughter, to be seen as a son or a daughter, and God sees the righteousness of Christ. I'm thinking of Chap Clark's book, Adoptive Youth Ministry, which is really helpful on this as well. So we'll include all those links. Well, guys, thank you for coming in and being a part of this. Sorry we didn't have Christmas cookies here. We're right before Christmas, but... go back to your church. And I want to say, when you gather, because they'll have them there. Yeah. When you gather with your youth ministry crew and you watch the film together, you know, do what Jacob did yesterday, because we were over at your building. You had a spread of donuts and muffins. It was just awesome. So that was great. But so make sure you have food. You got to have food to do this. So good. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. And we'll talk to you next time on the next episode of Youth Culture Matters.
Thanks for joining us for Youth Culture Matters, a podcast from the Center for Parent Youth Understanding. If you'd like to learn more about today's youth culture, visit our website at cpyu.org. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, email us at podcast@cpyu.org.